Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
Welcome, everyone, to East County Magazine's forum for Lemon Grove City Council candidates. Lemon Grove is a delightful little city, but it's facing some big challenges, as many cities are these days. I want to thank all four candidates for participating tonight. Councilman David Arambula, former Councilman George Gastel, looking to reclaim a seat, Planning Commissioner Liana LeBaron, and Teresa Rosiak, who is the former president of the Lemon Grove Chamber of Commerce. We also thank the Facebook Journalism Project for funding our series of virtual candidate forums during the COVID-19 era. And we especially thank the many residents of Lemon Grove who sent in so many great questions, and we're going to try to fit in as many as we can tonight. I'm Miriam Raftery, the editor of East County Magazine. I'm the moderator of tonight's forum, along with our co-host, John Sepulveda, who is also our timekeeper. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for an opening statement and 1 minute for closing statements. The first round of questions will be responses of up to 2 minutes. Feel free to be shorter if you want to. And then a lightning round of some easier questions with answers of up to 1 minute. So without further ado, let's move on to opening statements. I think we'll just keep it easy. We'll go in order and we'll rotate so everybody gets a chance to go first and everybody gets a chance to go last. So Teresa, we'll start with you. If you could share your qualifications, accomplishments, and goals if elected.
Thank you. I'm a native of Lemon Grove, and I've been employed 26 years for a major healthcare corporation. In 1994, I purchased a townhouse on Central Avenue and started to attend the city council meetings. Since a child, I've been doing charity work, feeding the homeless, and helping struggling families weekly in Lemon Grove. I volunteered for the Old Time Days as a volunteer 3 years in a row, and I was also the event day coordinator for Old Time Days for 6 years. I've been involved in Paint Lemon Grove, 6 different events. I'm a past president of the Lemon Grove Chamber of Commerce. I'm currently the co-founder of the Lemon Grove Improvement Council and the co-founder of the Lemon Grove Business Improvement Council. I'm involved with the Caltrans Adopt a Highway program. I'm passionate about healthcare, violence, rape, human trafficking, as our family has, you know, faced some of these issues. The city of Lemon Grove needs to evolve, and we need visionaries and new leaders who think out of the box and who are not afraid to make the hard decisions. During these unprecedented times of COVID, the city should be working harder than ever, and we can do better, and we must do better for our residents. I pledge no new taxes. I will not accept a salary or benefits, as our sidewalks need to be repaired and more are needed. I am ready to roll up my sleeves and serve you, and I hope that you will join me in this exciting journey.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Councilman Arambula, let's hear your opening statement.
Good evening, Miriam, John, and fellow candidates and audience members. My name is David Arambula, and I'm running for re-election to the Lemon Grove City Council. So thank you for taking the time this evening to learn more about each of the candidates, and I'm honored to share the space tonight with such high-caliber people. As for me, I'm completing my first term this year as a council member. Our campaign is endorsed by Dr. Shirley Weber, our assembly member for the 79th, Labor and Working Families, the Dem Party, Lemon Grove Firefighters, our local, the Deputy Sheriff's Association, among other key endorsements. More about me, though, I served honorably in the U.S. Marine Corps. Then I went to undergrad, grad school, and law school. After law school, I helped develop and run the Employee Rights Center as part of the San Diego Imperial County's Labor Council. From there, I worked at different companies in different capacities, but primarily performing HR and litigation prevention functions. So like most of the candidates for local office, we all want to genuinely give back to our community in one form or another. For some, it starts with volunteering at community events, and for others, it's running for local office. everyone's efforts are important and much appreciated and applauded by the respective community they serve. As many of us have learned, though, it's oftentimes difficult to always make everyone happy. So leadership, as we all know, is not a popularity contest, but rather a responsibility to get the job done you were elected. These leadership dynamics, you can simplify them and just keep them at that and saying you're getting the job done or you're not getting the job done. But quite frankly, the dynamics are further complicated in local government when you're only one of five votes, as we are on city council. You have to learn how to lead as part of a team. Speaking poorly about fellow community members who are also giving back to community or creating unnecessary or unwarranted issues simply to get a title is not becoming of any of us. So that said, I applaud the courage displayed by my fellow candidates for running for office in Lemon Grove, including mayor and city council positions. So let me close this opening statement by stating that any individual that is elected in November will have to work closely with fellow council members in order to address the pressing issues facing the cities. Nothing sustainable can be done individually. It must be done as part of a relatively cohesive team. I hope to provide you additional reasons for earning your vote this evening to be reelected to Lemon Grove City Council. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Liana, are you there? We're not seeing your video. Liana? Liana LeBaron, let's hear your opening statement, please.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to my home. My name is Liana LeBaron, and I'm running for Lemon Grove City Council. As some of you may know, I'm a born and raised Lemon Grover. I'm a product of local schools, and I'm a San Diego State alumna. I've always been that person who's been an advocate for others. I've always been that person to ask the tough questions and then to report back to people. And what that has translated to in my adult life is years of service in nonprofit organizations, to the point to where I'm now able to give back to the community where I was born and raised. So to that end, I'm involved in all things Lemon Grove. I currently serve on the board of a couple local nonprofits to include the Lemon Grove Lions Club, the Lemon Grove Community Garden. Greg Shibley and I actually recently created a local podcast, actually Lemon Grove's first local podcast called Shine on Lemon Grove, in which we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly that's going on around town. Essentially, our mission is to encourage an informed and engaged community and to promote business, talk about all things Lemon Grove, of course, and talk about ways in which we can improve our city. Also, something that I'm very, very proud about is the fact that I currently serve on the Lemon Grove Planning Commission. It's through that work that I've actually gotten to know I've gained and I've earned a lot of experience in working with the city. And I see many opportunities in the ways in which the city can have better relations with the community at large and in turn improve our city. I think I'll leave it at that.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Liana. And last but not least, George Gastel, let's hear your opening statement.
Wonderful. Thank you all for being here. And I especially appreciate the people who are taking the time to learn about the candidates. In Lemon Grove, we have immense challenges, as everybody knows. And I have to say that somebody with experience could probably be good to handle these. I was on the city council for 8 years, from 2008 to 2016. And I had the opportunity to work with Mary Sessom, our former mayor, who is supporting me. I had the chance to work with several other talented people who got the city through some very hard times during that time period. I also served on the Lemon Grove School Board even further back for 10 years, from 1998 to 2008. Lemon Grove is really special to me, just like it's special to all the people that run for this job. I've been active in Lions, and I was one of the co-founders of the community garden. And my wife and I have raised three sons in Lemon Grove. Looking ahead, we need leadership and we need vision. And the people often say that the problems are immense, but I can tell you that our problems are solvable if we have people who are working together and if we have a vision that makes sense to the average person in Lemon Grove. The budget crisis, for example, is something that we have the ability to solve. It's fundamentally a communication problem that involves the city being able to eventually to communicate better with its residents and better at forming a vision and getting buy-in for what we need to do as a city. We also need to make our city more walkable. We need to make our city safer. We need to be working with our firefighters and our police officers to accomplish more with less money. There's so much to do, and we need experienced people working on it.
Very good. Thanks to all of you. And it sounds like Lemon Grove residents are fortunate to have four experienced and qualified people running with various backgrounds. As George mentioned, Lemon Grove is facing a structural budget deficit. What steps do each of you support to help resolve the deficit and the budget problem? And please specifically include your stance on whether you support or oppose a sales tax increase, and also whether or not you believe disincorporating as a city and going back to county control, as some have suggested, is an option that you would consider or not. Councilman Arambula, let's start with you. It's your turn.
Great. Thank you. And I'll try to address all the questions you just raised in a coherent manner. So as far as what we're doing as a city, we've had countless meetings, workshops, agenda item discussions regarding our financial situation for obvious reasons. So I'm going to go backwards. I'll address the unincorporation or disincorporation issue or question first. Am I supportive of disincorporation? Absolutely not. Do we have a viable pathway to get us to where we need to get to? We're getting there. I'm very confident that we'll be there. But like anything that's worthwhile, that's going to be sustainable, it's going to take some time, and it has taken some time because it's not an easy problem to fix. I'll be the first to admit that. And I know the rest of my fellow council members will say exactly the same thing. Not one candidate here can give me a silver bullet. Not one candidate here can tell the community that this is the way that they are individually going to solve it. This is going to be solved as a group. So getting rid of all the shenanigans and all the static and noise that's out there, focusing in on truly caring about our city is going to be our first step. Second thing is to really put our minds around what we've been working on. So again, going back to this, disincorporation should be the last option, and it really should be the last ditch effort that we try. As far as our efforts, our initiatives, the cannabis tax that's going up as Measure J this November, it's anticipated to raise $300,000 to $1 million. There's, of course, one-time money from property sales, settlements, and that we're using our 115 trust money, which is generating 9% revenues versus our CalPERS monies, which are only raising about 4%, or at least last year was 4%. So we have other things in the mix, a digital sign, which we anticipate getting no less than $350,000 per year, some estimates up to over $1 million. Now, there's plenty of more of these discussions, and the folks that are here already heard most of this, but it's good for the public to hear it, that we have plenty of ideas. Now we just need to put the work in and get it done.
Okay. Liana, what are your thoughts on the budget, disincorporation, and the sales tax? Can you unmute, please? There we go.
Hi, Mayor. I'm sorry. There's multiple parts to that question, and I want to make sure that I don't miss any. Could you repeat it again, please?
Absolutely. Lemon Grove is facing a structural budget deficit. What steps do you support to resolve that? And can you include your stance on the sales tax increase and disincorporation, as some have proposed? Sorry for the complex questions, but we're trying to get in as
what
many as we can.
What steps do you support to resolve the...
Go ahead.
Okay. What steps do you support to resolve the budget issues? Do you support a sales tax increase? And do you think the city should disincorporate, correct?
Yes, or would you consider that as a last course, option? Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna start on disincorporation. So at this point, disincorporation is a huge unknown. Just hearing that word makes people very fearful. And as leaders, we need to know that we can't operate, or we can't make decisions from a point of fear. We need to be coming from a point of facts and what is best for our community. like I already said, I'm a born and raised Lemon Grover. So the fact that this city at one point struggled to become a city and incorporate is huge for me. I find that that's wound up in my identity as a Grover. However, what I do know is that at the end of the day, we all just want our streets to be paved properly. We want our potholes to be filled. We want to have enough money to support the level of services that we think we deserve. And if disincorporation is one way that we're going to do that, that's something that, as a representative of the people of Lemon Grove, that's something that I would explore and have on the table. And that's something that I would go for if that is what the people of Lemon Grove wanted. Now, that can go either way, right? So if that's not what the city wants to do, then here I am as a representative ready to rally for what citizens want. But like I said, ultimately, at the end of the day, we all just want those basic level of services that the city should be providing us. So that's to disincorporation. Do you support a sales tax increase? So this past primary, this past March for the primaries, Measure S was on the ballot, correct?
And Ms. LeBaron, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we are well past time. So maybe Miriam, if it's okay, we'll let her just very simply, yes or no, do you support a sales tax increase? And then we can go on to the next candidate.
Okay, so again, as a representative and as a person who's very connected to the community, I support whatever the community wants. If the community wants a sales tax increase, then that's what they're going to get. And if they don't, they're not going to. According to the elections in March, the citizens of Lemon Grove said that no, they did not want a sales tax increase. Of course, that showed in that no vote, there was a lot of no voters because they don't trust our current leadership, because there wasn't a well thought out written plan, and because they didn't really think that they were going to get services that they deserve.
Thank you, Ms. LeBaron. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Right. Very good. We'll go to George, but I do want to remind everybody to check the chat over there. And John, if I could ask you, when you put 15 seconds, if you could put the person's name so they know whether it's referring to the person that just spoke or whether it's their 15 seconds.
Absolutely.
That are up.
Sure.
Okay. George, your thoughts on the budget, the sales tax, and disincorporation.
Right. Well, I'll take disincorporation first. I think it's extremely unlikely. No city has stopped being a city since the 1970s. And from what I read, that particular city was much smaller and much more pathetic than us. So I think it's really unlikely. I do think that we should be open to other various ideas, maybe merging with another city, maybe becoming part of a bigger entity in some other way. We should be open to other ideas that support the interests of the people of Lemon Grove, because really it's about serving the residents. As far as the sales tax, I was part of the effort that put a sales tax measure on the ballot in March. I'm very proud of that. It's one of the most remarkable grassroots efforts the city has seen. And I believe very strongly that when people fully understand what's involved in the city and what the choices are, that people will in fact support more revenue for the city. There might be some particular changes that we could make in a future proposal. There might be some ways to make a proposal better, but in general, I think we do need more revenue for the city. The structural deficit is real, and it really is primarily a matter of bringing the right proposal to the people and also rebuilding some of that trust that's been mentioned. The people in Lemon Grove, they need to understand that their city works for them, and the budget is a public document. 3/4 of the city's budget goes toward vital services, saving our lives. And as Lemon Grove residents, we need to be looking out for our city. I think most people would agree with that.
Thank you very much. And Teresa, your thoughts on these issues?
Well, with regards to disincorporation, nobody wants disincorporation for Lemon Grove, plain and simple. But I feel that we should get the information so that at a different time that we can make an educated decision. With regards to the sales tax, I will not vote for any type of sales tax in Lemon Grove whatsoever. And it was proven the citizens of Lemon Grove did not want the sales tax. They didn't want for us to give the city $2.9 million so that it can be mishandled. With regards to the budget deficit, we have to get it under control. Everything has to be looked over with a fine-tooth comb and gone through thoroughly, because unfortunately, I don't think that that is the case at this time. We need to look for collaborations. We have many people in Lemon Grove that are retired grant writers. We need to utilize them to bring more grants, because there are grants out there. We are just not applying for them. And one of them was a cannabis grant that was over $1 million that the city did not apply for. And that could have helped us tremendously. Also, we need to utilize volunteers. Volunteers do wonderful. Teamwork of volunteers makes the dream work. And volunteers can pick up the slack that City Hall cannot provide. Because again, it's all about the residents' needs, and our residents' needs are not being met at this time. Thank you.
Okay, on to our next question, and thank you, Teresa. Businesses in Lemon Grove, especially downtown businesses, have been hurt by the coronavirus pandemic, closure of a freeway off-ramp at Lemon Grove Avenue, and also blight, you know, boarded up businesses and so forth. What steps would each of you take to help make downtown more attractive and revitalize the community, as we've seen La Mesa and El Cajon do, and improve the business climate in Lemon Grove? Let's see, I believe it is, lost track here. Liana, it's your turn to go first on this one. Liana, could I ask that you unmute and be ready when it's your turn so that we don't have lost time?
Yes. Could I just have you repeat the question again, because there's like three parts to each question, so it's kind of difficult downtown, to address each one.
Yeah, businesses, especially downtown, have been hurting in Lemon Grove first by the coronavirus pandemic, closure of a freeway off-ramp, and blight. What steps would you take to make downtown more attractive and revitalize the community, improving the business climate for Lemon Grove, basically?
So what steps will I take to what, I'm sorry?
To make it more business friendly.
To clean up our downtown?
Clean up downtown, there you go, you can address that. I would say clean up downtown, if anyone has
and
ideas.
And how many minutes do I have to answer this? Business.
2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay, so as to what steps I'll take to make our downtown more business friendly, I'm gonna start by saying what steps I'm already taking to do that. So being that I love this city, this is my home, right? And being that I know that our downtown area is extremely dirty, I took it upon myself a couple years ago to start going on, to start picking up trash as I go on my evening walks, right? And I took it a step further, and when I joined the local Lemon Grove Lions Club, which is a local community service group, when I joined the Lions Club, I took it a step further by bringing that to leadership and asking whether they would give support to me organizing monthly community cleanups. And since that happened about a year and a half ago, we've been having those on a monthly basis. Not only do we have monthly community cleanups, which I lead, we also have graffiti removal events. And they all turn out to be extremely successful. And something that I want to say is that another candidate mentioned that we need to take advantage of partnerships with the community, and that we need to take advantage of volunteerism, especially at this time when our city is impacted by COVID and we're all struggling. I 100% agree with that. And so that's as to what I will do to help our downtown. That's something that I'm already doing. If I do make it on council, something that's extremely important is to note that our business community is the backbone of the city. It's through that sales tax dollar, those sales tax dollars that are generated by our local businesses, that we have the funds to repair potholes and pay our public works people, right? So in prioritizing our business community, because and a trickle effect that's going to benefit all of us Lemon Grovers. If I make it onto council, I'm going to prioritize meeting with our business community. I noticed that people want to say, oh, what can we do to bring in businesses? Something that we definitely need to do as a city is we need to focus on what we're doing now to help our current businesses, correct?
And Leanna, Leanna, this is John Sepulfedo, also okay. A fellow lifelong Lemon Grover. And I'm going to ask as a lifelong Lemon Grover,
yes, hello.
That you stop the answer just for now because we are going over time, and I appreciate the fact that you're getting clarification. You must have had Miss Campbell for English at Lemon Grove Middle. I know I did. She made us check things like that. I want to remind everyone who is on the call, we have to keep the time, and yeah, we need to make sure that we're ready. So let's please keep it moving as we continue. I'm sorry, Ms. LeBaron, you are at time. We'll go back to Miriam right now.
Okay. And George, let's hear from you on the issue of downtown revitalization and helping businesses.
Wonderful. I'm glad to jump into that one. Yeah, the downtown does need more cleaning. This has come up before, and I strongly support anything we can do to make our place more beautiful. I've heard people say that trees would be very helpful as well. I'm really proud to have the support of Ginger Hitzke, the developer of Citronica, who has been instrumental in improving our downtown and eager to work with business leaders like her who have shown an interest in revitalizing downtown, partly by bringing quality housing to downtown and also by encouraging quality businesses downtown. I also want to give a shout out to the council and the mayor for what they've done to support businesses that are struggling with short-term loans to help keep businesses going during the COVID era. The question mentioned La Mesa and El Cajon. Hey, does anybody know what they have that we don't? La Mesa charges an extra 0.75 cents on sales tax, and they use that to improve streets and improve public safety and specifically to promote economic development, okay? So let's not pass up the chance to get some tools that we can use to help our city. Thank you.
Okay. And Teresa, let's hear from you with your ideas on business revitalization and making Lemon Grove more business friendly.
Well, my opinion is Lemon Grove is not business friendly. There's too much red tape that a business has to go through so many hoops, and even in order to even open their doors. And it's unacceptable. There are, I think it was 672 items that a business can be charged on the master fee schedule if they want to open a business in Lemon Grove. That's unacceptable. Again, I am the co-founder of the Lemon Grove Improvement Council and the Lemon Grove Business Improvement Council. We have developed the Lemon Grove Business Improvement Council to help the businesses. Also, the Lemon Grove Improvement Council does cleanups, and we fill up 340 cubic foot bins at one event. And we try to do it monthly. COVID kind of put a snafu in us doing it monthly, but we are back on track. Volunteers. These things can all be accomplished with volunteers, and we can make it happen. We need to do better for our businesses. We need to support them more. We need to do better for our residents, and it's just not happening. But we can turn this around, and we can make it great again. Thank you.
And Councilman Arambula, your thoughts on business revitalization, improving the business climate for Lemon Grove.
Well, thank you for that. One of the things that I've learned in my short tenure on city council is that sensationalizing issues seldom makes sense. If you're trying to raise the issue because of the importance, it's good. But right now, let's just work with facts. The facts are that we have been, every city in the entire county has been impacted. In part because of COVID, but prior to that, it was because of the structural deficit caused by the funding the pensions. So all that said, our city hasn't been impacted as much as most cities because we don't rely on tourism as much. We're not IB. We're not one of those coastal cities. And our city's more meat and potatoes. In other words, we're not fancy. We, you know, like here in this in Lemon Grove, we don't have Mercedes dealers or anything like that. That's for other places. What we have is hardworking families, hardworking folks who really just want to make sure that the government is working for them. Saying that we're not working for them is pretty silly, because again, that's just, it's not factual. We've been doing quite a bit of work. I know that at least two of the members, three, actually, you know what, all four of the members here, the candidates, attend regularly the city council meetings, and they're well aware of the issues that we're facing and the work that we've been putting in for this, not only us as on city council, but city staff. And they've been doing a phenomenal job given their resources, their limited resources. So like I said, prior to COVID, we were heading in the right direction as a council and city staff. It's only been the confluence of COVID really made this more difficult for us. So in the end, bottom line is we do have a downtown village specific plan that we need to bring back. Community already gave us their feedback. We just need to run with it. I'll say one last thing that we did receive, and I see that I got a few seconds. We did receive we are applying for a grant that will finalize the linear park and the realignment project to the tune, if we are awarded that money, over $5 million, which will complete the design and the construction phase going from the trolley station down to, or I'm sorry, the Citronica trolley station all the way down to Massachusetts and connecting us to San Diego. So great things are about to happen. Just hang in. Thank you.
Very good. I've got a question I think we can do in a minute to try to make up some time since we went over on a couple of things. Briefly tell us your thoughts on how to meet Lemon Grove's housing needs, whether you support height limits. There's been talk of maybe buildings of up to 5 stories. And also if you have ideas for helping homeless residents of Lemon Grove. So housing and homelessness, including height limits. And let's see, George, you're first.
A minute?
Well, we're going
to
try.
I can speak to housing. Lemon Grove's done tremendous things during the time I was on the council. The population grew by almost 2,000 people. And I think we need more of the market rate, high quality housing, though we do also need to continue to build what they call the affordable housing. And here that those terms are relative. But the main thing is we need high quality housing that looks nice and that people want to stay in so that we get more long-term residents. There's so much to your question. The homeless problem has a lot to do with the county. And I'm a big believer in collaboration. We need to work with the county. We need the Board of Supervisors and SANDAG. They're very focused on the homeless. We can work with them on that issue. We can't really tackle it on our own. And I'm not sure what the rest of the question is, but I'm sure
height limits. Height limits.
Oh, the height limit.
You know, there's some talk of 5-story buildings downtown. So
yeah, I think that we need to have a discussion. You know, there needs to be a discussion. I don't want to say that I'm against it or for it until I've heard the arguments and heard what citizens would think about it. In general, I think we got limited space. We're only 7 minutes from downtown San Diego. We're at the cross section of 2 freeways and a trolley line. We should actually consider building up, because we can't build out.
Okay, thank you. Teresa, your thoughts on housing and homelessness?
Well, with regards to housing, I am in favor of, you know, 5 stories if it's done properly. I think it needs, you know, to be vetted by the Planning Commission and then brought forth to the City Council, and then a final decision can be made. Knowledge is empowerment. So the more knowledge we have, the better decisions that we can make. Housing needs to be affordable and it needs to be done mindfully. Housing growth is important for the survival. It has, you know, growth has to occur. With regards to homelessness, yes, collaborations with the county, absolutely, because I don't think we've tapped into everything that we can. Also, the Lemon Grove Improvement Council and St. John of the Cross Church, we are developing, it used to be called Dignity Showers.
And we are going to be making some showers down at St. John of the Cross so that we can help the homeless and they can go there, get food, get clothing, and be able to help them. We need to do more.
15 seconds.
And again, with volunteers and collaborations, we can do more. We have to think out of the box. We have to be visionaries to be able to make this happen. And we can. It's going to take hard work. But you know what? I'm ready to roll up my sleeves. And I know a lot of volunteers that are ready to roll up their sleeves and make it happen. We can't wait any longer.
Super.
Thank you.
Councilman Arambula, your thoughts on housing and homelessness in Lemon Grove?
So as we all know about the RENA numbers that we are pushing back collectively and unanimously as a city council, our numbers were more than tripled this 10-year cycle. So like George mentioned a few minutes ago, we've already built out. There's only a handful of properties, some owned by the city, but mostly private properties throughout the city to build out. But quite frankly, everything has to be built up. And like Ms. Rosiak mentioned earlier, as long as it's smart growth and it's growth that coincides with the community. Remember that we did do the downtown village specific plan hearings or community events where we elicited hundreds of comments and input from the community that said that some were for it, some were against it. But all that data has already been captured. And like I said, the community's efforts and voice has already been said shouted, quite frankly. We just need to go back and revisit that. As far as homelessness, recently, at our last homeless count, we had approximately, I believe it was 11 people that we identified. For the last 4 or 5 months, our sheriffs have been doing some outreach and identified approximately 90 individuals who are considered transitional contacts, homeless folks.
15 seconds, please.
Yep, 22 of those 90 people have been provided services or have accepted services, and now 6 of those are off the streets. So, again, it's not homelessness is a local issue; it's a regional issue. In other words, it doesn't just affect Lemon Grove; it affects all cities. But in this case, what we need to focus in is partnering with our folk, our neighbors in the county. Thank you.
Super. And Liana on housing and homelessness. Liana.
Yes. Okay. So I've written up some words. So in how, in my connecting and listening to the people of Lemon Grove, what is clear is that we all want properly planned development. As a planning commissioner, I encourage development that is going to transform and rebrand our small city and areas like our downtown village into something appealing and attractive, which is something that all Lemon Grovers want. And basically a place where we feel confident, where people feel confident investing in. As a planning commissioner, I always ask developers for what Lemon Grovers most want. And that's to make sure that developers that are coming in aren't taking advantage of our city to a point to where Lemon Grovers get nothing out of it, right? And as a planning commissioner, and certainly as a city council member, my entire job is to be responsible to the community, to the people of Lemon Grove, and to be an advocate for what they want. So as a planning commissioner, that said, I always ask developers for sidewalks, wider sidewalks, for green spaces, trees, and for bike lanes, because those are things that the people of Lemon Grove have told me are extremely important. And I know that because as a planning commissioner, I do my due diligence, and I take that job very, very seriously. And I'm always very connected to community and asking them what it is that they want me to advocate for. And if on council, that is something that I am certainly going to do.
Super.
Well, continue to do.
Thank you, Liana. Quickly, the next question on racial justice and policing. Lemon Grove spends over 75% of its budget on sheriff and fire protection and salaries. And yet, as Teresa mentioned, there's still crime problems, especially with human trafficking. While some people want more done to stop crime, others, including many of the racial justice protesters across the country and across our region, have called for shifting some police funding to address other priorities, you know, such as homelessness or mental illness. What are your views on how best, with the limited resources, to protect public safety, but also address racial justice concerns in Lemon Grove. And let's see, I believe this is, Teresa, you're first on this one.
Thank you. Black Lives Matter. I have learned how much my privilege can help others fighting this racial war. And because of that, I did not seek the sheriff's in 18. I pledged to support the family, friends, community members, and I acknowledge that we all need to do more, myself included. And with regards to the police, I'm running at a loss. I apologize.
Okay.
We need to take the police out of handling mental health and homeless issues. This is not something that should be part of their job. We have a PERT person, but only, you know, the PERT person is temporarily, you know, she's not full time. So again, we need collaborations to get a PERT person full time to work with the people with mental health issues and homelessness. The more we do that, then we can free up the sheriffs to do what they need to do. We also need to revitalize even more our volunteer sheriff's department and have them pick up some of the, I hate to say it, some of the slack where the sheriffs can't get to. And by doing that, we need to have them re-look at the qualifications for the volunteer patrol. Because then we can allow a younger person to be able to help because it's really, really needed in our area. So again, that would free up the sheriffs to do the important matters at hand. Thank you.
Miriam, can I have a follow-up question, if that's okay, just very briefly? Ms. Rosiak, you said earlier that you didn't want to raise taxes and that you didn't support any kind of business interest, but yet you're calling for all these social workers to be downtown and interface with these folks. How's that going to get paid for?
Again, different collaborations and grants.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I just wanted to be clear for our
No
voters.
Problem. Thank you so much.
That was a good question, John. Thank you. Councilman Arambula, your views on policing and racial justice.
Right, so providing vital services, including first responder services, are, as most of the folks here should know, it's our priority as elected officials in the municipal level, all levels, quite frankly. So this is no exception. Is it important to have a law enforcement agency that's going to be sensitive to the needs of the community? Absolutely. And where we find that we don't get that, we need to push on our, like in our case, our lieutenant, Lieutenant Rand, to ensure that we're getting what we need, what we contracted for. For example, if we need, like one of the suggestions that we've been making is that officers reflect our demographics and are culturally trained and sensitive and ideally also bilingual or trilingual where possible, so that the community can kind of relate with them a bit better. Do I feel that there's a need to bridge a gap that's been created either, intentionally or unintentionally? Yes, absolutely. But we can't start with just simply pointing fingers. We need to sit down and create dialogue and an environment and a situation where we can feel comfortable discussing things with transparency and forthrightness. Until that happens, we really won't make any progress. It'll be us and them versus them. It's not us versus them, it's us.
15 seconds. Thank you.
Okay. Leanna, let's hear from you on policing and racial justice issues in Lemon Grove.
Sorry for not being unmuted. So I'm in this really peculiar situation. As you can all see, I'm a tiny brown woman. I'm of Mexican descent. And I also come from a family that has many law enforcement people in it. That said, as to addressing both racial equality and public safety, I certainly stand against racial prejudice. I stand against racism. And I'm going to bring up a very local, a real life example of some of my thoughts on this and allocations of funds for our law enforcement, et cetera. Not too long ago, I live very close to a transitional home. Not too long ago, somebody was having a mental crisis. They came out and they were screaming and yelling. And me and a couple of my neighbors, one who's a nurse, one who's a hospital social worker, we all ran to that individual and we helped that person because they were saying that they were in a time of crisis, that they didn't want us to call the police because they didn't want to go to jail. They just wanted to talk to somebody. And what my neighbors did, the nurse, the social worker, and myself, we were that team there to support that individual. Ultimately, the sheriffs did show up. The sheriff deputies did show up. But what that individual needed wasn't something necessarily that our sheriff deputy could have provided, which was support, mental support. However, 15 seconds, please. However, at the same time, that sheriff deputy is absolutely needed to respond to many of the things that happen here in Lemon Grove. For example, when people are in their time of need or when people feel fearful, they 100% absolutely want to know that when they pick up the phone and call 911, that our sheriff deputies are going to respond quickly.
Ms. LeBaron, just again to throw the same question that I gave to Ms. Rosiak earlier, you're again suggesting that social workers need to interface with the unhoused population, the transitional housing population. San Diego State has done research showing that this is incredibly important for Lemon Grove, your alma mater, and yet you said earlier that you would not support a tax increase to pay for these services unless everybody else wanted it. So if everyone else doesn't want it, do those services then not get funded?
No, absolutely not. No, as in, yes, they can get funded because, again, I'm going to revert. Actually, I didn't get to mention this earlier because part of my strategy to helping our local economy is that we're going to focus on our business community, strengthening our current local business community. And if in doing so, I don't believe that Lemon Grove is 100% absolutely doomed to where we still can't partner with mental health workers, perhaps more PERT, and have our deputies partner up with those organizations.
Thank you so much. Miriam?
Okay.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, let's see. And George, I don't think we heard from you yet on this question of policing and racial justice.
Yeah, I want to first of all applaud our mayor for calling a gathering of all the mayors in San Diego County to meet with leaders in the Sheriff's Department to talk about how communication can be improved, and how service can be improved, and the kind of progress that we hope to see. I've met with the Sheriff's Department. They are support, the Sheriff's deputies are supporting me. And I talk to them straight. I applaud their professionalism when I see it, but I also I'm not hesitant to point to areas where we need to see improvements. I think the reason why the deputies are willing to support candidates is because the candidates they support are people that support the funding that we need for law enforcement. And you know, there's just no way to get around it. It's the biggest part of our budget. That being said, I also did tell the deputies that I want to take away some of their job. And what I mean by that is what some of the other candidates have alluded to. If we had other people doing things valuable in the community, we wouldn't need the police as much. So I definitely wanted to have a stronger mental health, stronger prevention activities, bringing county social workers to Lemon Grove. A lot of this does happen, but it could happen better. A lot of good ideas just need to be implemented better and more consistently.
Thank you very much, George. We're going to go to closing statements now. Your first with the closing statements.
Great. And again, thank you, Miriam. Thank you, John. Thank you, fellow candidates, as well as the community that came out to, you know, spend a few minutes with us and listening to the candidates. I'll keep it brief. Let me close simply by stating that any individual that is elected in November will have to work closely with fellow council members in order to address the pressing issues facing the city. So nothing sustainable can be done individually. So there's no I in this. And truly that adage of there's no I in team exists here. So nothing sustainable can be done individually. It has to be done as part of a relatively tight and cohesive team. Now there's going to be disagreements and that's fine. But that doesn't rise to the level of not working as a team. We all want the best thing for Lemon Grove. I certainly do, and I'll continue doing this, whether elected or not. I'll continue working with the different community-based organizations. I'm a member of several of the organizations that were mentioned this evening. I'll continue that work. So, again, I've been part of this team for over 3 years and now, and I'm looking forward to continuing the work that we're doing to help Lemon Grove excel. So I hope to provide you additional reasons to earn your vote in the next 2 months, in addition to what was said today, to get me reelected to the Lemon Grove City Council. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Liana, your turn for closing statements.
As I've already told everybody, I'm a born and raised Lemon Grover, proud military wife and mother, and I'm also currently a Lemon Grove Planning Commissioner. I've dedicated the last few years of my life to giving back to the city that made me. I do so wholeheartedly and with an extreme passion to giving back and to serving not only the city, well, the people of the city of Lemon Grove. I'm a person who's extremely, extremely, extremely connected to the community. And as a city council member, I can assure you that I'm going to remain connected to you. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to remain committed to working for you. And what I will say is that just like everybody who's watching this recording, I have the same concerns as you. And now, just as a resident, I already commit myself to working towards getting stuff done in the city. I can guarantee that as a council member, that's only going to continue. Some of our common concerns, the cleanliness of our city, our safety, the strength of our local business community, that some of our worst paved streets are repaved. Those are all concerns that I have because I, like you, am here. I'm very connected to the community. I listen to the community. So this November, be sure to vote Liana LeBaron for Lemon Grove City Council. I will remain committed to working for you.
Thank you very much, Liana. George, let's have your closing statements, please.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. And thanks again to all the people putting in the time to learn about the candidates. I think that we basically agree on what is wonderful about Lemon Grove and what we need to improve. I think that I have a lot to offer because of my experience on the council, as well as my experience on the school board. As I was hearing the suggestions that people are bringing up, in my experience on the school board might be just as valuable as my experience on the council. When I was on the school board, for example, we picked up a lot of the after-school work, the after-school programs that the city had been doing. So the city and the school district can be working together on some of the problems that we're talking about. I think that voters should seriously consider, if they want to make change, and I hear that people do, consider electing experienced people who want to make change, because this city is in a dire situation. We need people experienced, and we need people who can work together as a team. The East County Inquirer gave me the highest compliment I've heard in a long time. They said, "We like Gastel's experience and level-headedness." That would fit on a yard sign. I would put that on a yard sign. I'm so honored by that. And I'm also honored to have the support of the firefighters. And I'm honored to have the support of former Mayor Sessom, who left the city with a surplus that is saving us right now, who led the city in pension reform that is saving us right now. So I'm really proud to have the support of so many people that have worked hard for the city, so many people that believe in Lemon Grove, including Shirley Weber, the assembly member who I've worked for, including the Labor Council, and including several of the council members and former council members that I've had the honor to work for, as well as school board members like Tim Shaw and Jay Bass that have worked with me. People who know Gastel say they want Gastel back. Okay, and I respond to that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, George. And Teresa, it's time for your closing statement.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Miriam, and the East County Magazine for your great reporting and for doing this evening. I'm running for Lemon Grove City Council because I am passionate about what is happening in our city. We need people in leadership who can look at our financial situation and make the hard decisions that are needed to balance our budget. Currently, the budget is balanced by raiding our rainy day fund with no plan to pay it back. I will make our financial crisis a priority. The city of Lemon Grove needs to live within its means, just like the hardworking residents do each and every day. I do not have all the answers, but if chosen leaves, and I will take a thorough look at the budget and get to work. I will help the council create a realistic financial plan for our city. I would be honored to have your vote on Tuesday, November 3rd, and to represent you, the citizens of Lemon Grove. Thank you very much for your participation this evening.
Thank you, Teresa. And I really want to give a big thanks to all of the candidates for your commitment, not only to run for public office, but to participate in this forum in this time of COVID when it's really hard for people to hear directly or meet the candidates face to face. Also, I want to thank the residents who sent in some great questions. I wish we could have asked every single one of them. We also want to thank the Facebook Journalism Project for supporting our virtual candidate forums and our reporting during the pandemic. We will be posting full video of this at eastcountymagazine.org. It may take a day or so to process it, but we will have it up there. And on our Facebook page as well, we'll be airing an audio version, probably trimmed a bit on KNSJ Radio. And I also want to encourage everybody to go to sdvote.com. Check to make sure that you're still registered. And if you haven't registered yet, register to vote. Due to the pandemic this year, ballots are being mailed to everybody, so register early. And you can also drop off your ballots at polling places and polling super centers across our region. So get one of these and mask up and go vote. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone. And this concludes our Lemon Grove City Council Candidates Forum.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producers, John Sepulveda and Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.